And I'm now on air. At the moment, I have no guests, so it's just me, just all by myself. But I thought I could start anyway, and if anybody decides to join later on, that's fine. And if not, well, I can be assured of stopping on time anyway. I can tell myself to shut up. We'll see how that goes, though, eh? Okay, we will. Well, this is Amran's Podcast, episode 240, and today in New Zealand is Friday, November 12th, 2010. Of course, it's still Thursday the 11th in the U.S. of A. and the rest of the Americas, but in the U.S. of A., it is Veterans Day. So a happy hello to any veterans who may be listening tonight. Thank you for your service. Now, I only have a few topics that I wanted to talk about, and it's sort of tangential, you could say. Many of you probably saw Glee this week. I did, and we won't discuss how I managed to see the current episode when it won't air in New Zealand for a while. Let's just say I was able to. But in that episode, of course, I'm not going to give any spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen it and plans to, but there is, well, we'll give one spoiler. It's two spoilers. It's about bullying, first of all. And secondly, there was one scene which I'm pretty sure was the first gay teen kiss in primetime television in free-to-air television history in the USA. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure that it was. And there have been other male kisses before between adults and also in daytime television, but I don't think that there have been any in primetime television, certainly not between teens, which kind of surprised me. And the scene actually didn't surprise me, I will say, for those who have seen it. I saw it coming, be that as it may. But what caught my eye about that was a story that was in the Melbourne Age the same day, no, the day before, sorry. And it was about a teenage lesbian couple who had been banned from a school ball, you know, school dance, at their school in Melbourne. Now, as it happens, the school is a private Anglican girls' school. And they weren't allowed to go together. Originally, the reason given was because, as an all-girls school, they wanted to have co-educational experience, they called it. And they claimed that the boys who the girls were required to bring weren't really dates. They were just guests. And I thought, what planet are these people on? But then they started coming up with all sorts of other excuses that the one girl, the girl who brought the complaint, her name was Hannah Williams, and her girlfriend is named Savannah Supski. Hannah and Savannah, isn't that just the cutest thing? Anyway, the girlfriend, Savannah, was 14 at the time, or is it 15? Must have been 15, and was considered by the school to be too young, even though some of the other girls were bringing younger boys to the dance. So that was clearly a made-up excuse, too. And what happened next is basically the girls decided they're going to switch schools. They're going to go to public school where their rights are going to be protected as a young lesbian couple, or just as even young lesbian girls. But here's what struck me about this. First of all, is that in the news article that originally was in the Melbourne Age, they named the names of the girls, both the first name and the last name. They didn't, you know, try to hide behind fake names or just giving their first names, as used to happen in the old days. And last night they appeared on our local, well, sort of current affairs show in the evening called Close Up. And they were interviewed by the host, and the girl Savannah said that her father wanted her that, first of all, both girls said that their parents were supportive, and that was also in the newspaper article. But the date, Savannah, said that her father wanted her to be a lesbian golfer, which I thought was just fantastic. But what struck me about both of these things, the Glee story and also the real-life story of a teenage girls in Melbourne, is that times have changed. And there seems to be, to me anyway, there seems to be a lot more tolerance among young people for people who are gay than there were certainly when I was a kid, when I was their age. No, I shouldn't say kid, that's condescending. When I was their age. And I think that's a fantastic development. I think it's a wonderful development. But it is kind of not a surprise, I guess, but more of a interesting thing to see happen. And today there was a survey released about Don't Ask, Don't Tell among active and reserve, apparently, soldiers. And 70% favored, well, let me rephrase, I was going to say they favored, but that's not exactly true. They saw little or no impact from a repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, the military is made up overwhelmingly of younger people. And you look at the people who are mostly opposed to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, to the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and they're all older folks. You look at the people who are fighting against same-sex marriage, and they're almost invariably older folks. So I'm thinking that there is a huge cause for optimism for the future, in that young people just aren't as bothered about such things as the older folks are, certainly not as my generation or the generations that preceded me. And I think that's something to, I don't know, to kind of to offer hope for everyone, including these kids that we've talked about trying to prevent from taking their own lives. When we talk about it gets better, it seems to me that that's tangible evidence that things really are getting better, even though it may take a while to filter down to every school in every corner of the country, or world for that matter, that there is still reason to be hopeful that things are indeed getting better. And there's probably no better evidence of that than a teenage male kiss on Glee. So there you go. That's just my thoughts on that subject, because when I watched it, that's one of the first things that I thought of. In the chat room, because we do have a chat room tonight, I should actually say joining us are Brother Sinatus, Lord Byron, Moose, Nessa, Piglet, Pooh Bear, Tara in Michigan, Teaching Tom, Veritable Virgo, White Chocolate, whoever that is, and Yasma Madu. Welcome, everyone. And there was this discussion. Nessa thinks that white chocolate is icky. But here's something for the animal lovers out there. White chocolate is the only chocolate that won't kill your dog. I found out doing some research. I'd always heard that chocolate was bad, but it turns out that the higher the cocoa content, the more dangerous it is. And, of course, we have never allowed Jake to have any chocolate of any kind whatsoever, including, you know, that fake dog chocolate that they sell, because I figure why give him a taste for it when he's forbidden to have it. So there you go. But speaking of white, but perhaps in the context of snake, I just wanted to say before I forget that this Sunday at, Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time is meant to be the third colony on QNation.fm with Nigel. I presume that it is still going ahead, so those of you who listen to that may want to join him for that. And, of course, I'll put a link in the show notes, but it's thethirdcolony.com, one word. But I wanted to mention that before I forget, because I know I will. I'm just that way. Now, getting back to lesbians. There was a story in the news that also caught my eye this week. And this will probably mean more to New Zealand expats who hear this story than it will to Americans. But we have had a prominent newsreader couple here in New Zealand. They used to read the 10 p.m. No, it wasn't either. It was the 6 p.m. news together at one point and so on. Their name were Simon Mandalo and Alison Maw. They separated some time ago. They were like the star couple of television. And they separated some time ago, and there started to be some rumors about Allie. Well, this week, she came out as a lesbian, or as some papers put it, bisexual, because she was married. She is in a relationship with a woman. She's in love with this woman and is now publicly out. And so that is, really quite a good development in itself. She made the announcement at this charity show that's called Queen of the Entire Universe, I've forgotten, which is basically this mega drag show which is done to raise money. And she's been doing that as part of her charity work for a very long time. And so that's where she actually made the official announcement, because she felt, you know, she was in her own community, and so why not there? So that was all very well and good and wonderful and all that sort of stuff, you know, nice, warm, comfy sweater sort of news. But one of the things that I think is interesting about that as well is that here is this very high-profile woman. She's still reading the news at various times, and she's also the co-host of the highest-rated, one of the longest-running shows in New Zealand called Fair Go. And there was, like, no ripple to the news that she was a lesbian. It's like, oh, okay, big deal. And I quite like that. about New Zealand, the fact that that sort of thing can happen, and it's just no big deal. And people just kind of take it in their stride. Now, there isn't really much that I have been talking about lately about New Zealand politics and that sort of thing, primarily because there's just not that much that's interesting even to me. And it's difficult to share with other people what is going on when I don't find it particularly interesting. But rest assured that if something comes along, I will talk about that. But one of the big topics that I have been talking about on the show has been the merger of the 8 councils into one new Auckland council. And I can report that so far the world has not ended, that everything is going along smoothly, and the various councils are merging together just fine. There are always some hiccups along the way with something of that sort. There are very big technical things that have to be resolved, integrating computer systems and all that sort of stuff, moving people around all over the place. But the fact of the matter is that it's really gone remarkably well, all things considered. And that's a credit, I think, to the people who actually work for these councils, who have kind of realized that, well, they just sort of have to get on and do it. Pardon me, I had to mute for a moment. I had to cough. I didn't have to belch. I had to cough. Now I'm going to have a sip of my coffee. See, I don't normally share all that sort of stuff because I normally cut all that out from the recorded episodes. But, hey, what can you do when you're live, eh? So, anyway, where was I? See, I don't keep notes. And I have said this many times before, but I don't write a script. And I don't usually even make a list of things I want to talk about. I just have kind of a vague idea in my head. But, yes. Well, anyway. Now, I'm not going to talk about U.S. politics. I know. Gasp, gasp, gasp. But there was one thing I wanted to bring up because it's related to New Zealand. And there is a columnist in the Sunday Herald, I believe it is. The New Zealand Herald is New Zealand's biggest newspaper. And the Sunday Herald is the Sunday edition of that. You have to pardon me for a second because I can't find what I wanted to bring up. Oh, there it is. Yes, there it goes. Yes, this was on the Sunday Herald, and it was by a man named Matt McCartan, who is on the left end of New Zealand's political spectrum. He used to be involved with a party called the Alliance, which was actually originally an alliance of several different parties, but some of them merged into it. And he wrote a column that was entitled "Obama Thrashing Shows Idiots Rule at Poll Booths," which is kind of an inflammatory title by itself. But his first paragraph says, "I've come to the conclusion that the American voters are stupid. There is a naivete and proud ignorance in the conservative adults who vote." And it's downhill from there. Needless to say, this has elicited a number of comments. Last night, there were about 111, which isn't all that much, really, for a newspaper column, but for his columns, it's actually rather quite a lot. And I was one of the people who commented, but not about that so much. I was just taking issue with some of the conservatives who were posting comments that I thought were absurd. But what I thought was interesting about that was that he would feel in any way qualified to discuss American politics. How do I want to put this delicately? Well, quite frankly, I don't think he knows what he's talking about, not just because of that comment, but because he just doesn't seem to have a full grasp of the details. One of the things I've seen most commonly in New Zealand coverage of U.S. politics is that the authors will refer to, Congress and the Senate, or something like that. I mean, mind you, I've seen that in American newspapers too, but instead of the House and the Senate and that sort of thing. And there's just these subtle differences that they just don't quite seem to grasp or to understand. And it amuses me when they bring in people, I shouldn't say bring in because he's already with them, but when these people comment on things that they really don't know quite what they're talking about. It's different when you see that in a comment to an article or a blog post or what have you, because you expect ignorant people there, but not writing a newspaper column. I mean, doesn't anybody check anything anymore? Anyway, that was, the comments are actually more entertaining than the article is. And if I remember, I'll put a link in the show notes, But it was, yes, it certainly struck my eye when I saw that. And I've become actually rather detached from politics over the past week or so, which will probably come as a shock to some. And, I mean, I've written a little bit about it on my blog, but not very much. And I just not that terribly interested at the moment. And, I mean, I suppose I'll get into it again when, you know, after the new Congress comes in. And as we here in New Zealand get closer to our next election, I'm sure I'll get more interested in it. But at the moment, I'm just kind of like, I'd rather talk about Glee. Yes, well, be that as it may. And I had actually planned, obviously, on bouncing things off of other people more. But since I don't have anybody else, I'm going on with some of the other things that have caught my eye. Now, one of the things I've always done, and this is how I often talk about these sorts of things in the podcast, is that when I see an article that interests me, I make a PDF out of it and put it aside. It's sort of the digital equivalent of clipping an article out of the newspaper, I suppose. But that way I can remember the sorts of things that I want to talk about. And one of the things that happened recently, and this shows you the sorts of things I get up to when I'm not podcasting or working, as the case may be, and my God, last week was a terrible work week, is that I read this article in the Herald, it was, yes, in the Herald, about Secretary of State Clinton's visit to New Zealand. And she apparently said that New Zealand punches way above its weight, which is a standard phrase that New Zealand politicians use, and quite frankly, it's a bit cliche. But that's actually not what caught my eye about that article. It was a almost throwaway paragraph. And, well, it was a throwaway paragraph. It was talking about her arrival in Wellington. It was an especially windy day, apparently. And this is what it said. Mrs. Clinton was dressed in a black three-piece trouser suit with a string of chunky pearls adorning her neck. And I thought, excuse me? How is that possibly relevant to anything? You know, you're talking about the way a foreign public official is dressed because she's female. They would never do that about a male. So I emailed the writer, the author of that story, a woman named Audrey Young, and I got an email back where she said that she assured me she did not write that line, that it was added by the online staff later on. She said, however, that she has written lines like that when it's, you know, related to the story, which is fair enough, because, I mean, if she had come wearing a big Mickey Mouse t-shirt as a dress, that would have been news. But the fact that she was dressed pretty much as she always does is not news. And that was my point, and I think she agreed with that. But I was appalled, quite frankly, that was in that story at all. And I was going to blog about it, but I decided ultimately I couldn't be bothered. You see, I told you, I just can't be bothered dealing with politics anymore. But one of the other things I've gotten up to lately, and I have blogged about this a bit, and I haven't blogged about this latest development yet, is the U.S. has just recently decided, or is moving toward, regulating the volume of TV commercials. See, it all comes back to Glee. Regulating the volume of TV commercials. And the new regulations will require that the volume of a commercial is no louder than the program it's interrupting, which is a good thing. Everybody would agree that that's a good thing. And there are now algorithms that allow them to do this in some technical thing that I don't understand in the least. But nevertheless, that there's this new system that they can do new international standards. So I emailed the Minister of Broadcasting and asked them if they were going to introduce the same regulations here in New Zealand. And I actually got a letter, an email back from him, and he said that no, they weren't going to, but that TVNZ, Television New Zealand, was going to implement the standards, and that they were going to that they were working with the other broadcasters to try to get them to adopt them as well. Now, I did try to look to see if I could contact the other broadcasters to see what their reaction was going to be, if they were going to follow the same. And I, for the life of me, could not find any contact details other than if you want to join, if you want to advertise, all of that sort of stuff. Because one of them is TV3, which is owned by a Canadian company called CanWest. They're trying to sell, but they haven't been able to yet. And all of their stuff is about about them. It's all about, aren't we wonderful? But there's nothing even about immediate inquiry or anything. And the other thing is the pay service called Sky, and it's not easy to contact them about such things either. But I did notice on the TV3 website, they said the same thing that all of the channels have been saying all along, which is that it's all a figment of people's imagination, that the commercials aren't really louder. They just seem louder because of some mumbo-jumbo. And I thought, oh, come on. You could say that, but it doesn't make it so. And so I don't know if the broadcasting minister meant to imply that TVNZ was going to help this TV3 and Sky regulate the volume of their commercials and implement this universal standard, or if he was just passing the buck, which is probably more likely. The current government doesn't like to issue regulations for anything, so I suspect that's probably the case. But at the very least, it does mean that the volume of commercials on TVNZ's channels, which are TVNZ 1 and 2, TV 1 and TV 2, which are the free-to-air channels, and also 6 and 7 and Heartland, which are on various digital platforms, those apparently all will be regulated. And so we will finally have a break from these loud commercials. But the one I really want to see change is the pay TV Sky, because when they interrupt, say, Sky News Australia with commercials, because that's where I watch the American network news, their commercials are louder by far than anything else on that channel. It's by an exponential factor, I would say. Although I've noticed that lately they've been easing it back a little bit. So, you know, there's some hope for that. And I'm about to ask someone to join or add someone to, or what do you call it? Call someone, I guess. Jeez. Send a message over Skype so that they know. And, yes. And actually, in the chat room, who said that I zap commercials? And we actually tend to do that, too, because the programs we really want to watch, we tend to record on the DVR that comes with Sky, and we fast forward through the commercials, so we don't actually have to deal with the volume anyway. So that's a good thing. And but, you know, I suppose progress is a slow thing. And joining us now is Veritable Virgo. Hello.
Hey, folks. How's everybody doing?
I didn't start with the Skype thing going, I forgot to hijack.
I did that the other day when I had Nessa on, and I was getting a terrible echo on my side. Mm-hmm. But Nessa sounded fine in the chat room, and she sounded fine over Skype, and I could not for the life of me figure out where the echo was coming from. So, and I sort of made a mental note to try to talk to you offline about it.
You're on Mac, right?
Yeah.
Yep, I think I have the solution, but we'll talk about it later.
I played with every control I could figure, and it just wouldn't go away.
Yeah. Yes, I had that trouble at first as well, sadly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, at least I'm not alone.
Nope, not at all. But, that's a good point. Moose says, I still watch The Simpsons on Fox because, who was it was saying? Oh, Gravitas said that Glee is the only show that he watches on Fox. And, of course, I don't see Fox at all because we don't have that channel here. But we do get the programs. One of the things that's interesting about American TV when it makes it over here is that things that originally started as a cable program, like The Sopranos, for instance, or what's another good example? That's all I can think of off the top of my head, are free-to-air. And
really?
Yeah, we don't have the same kind of restrictions that America does. Hmm. We can also have nudity on free-to-air television, but after 9:30. And it has to be relevant to the story. They can't just have people running around naked for no good reason. Context is everything.
Yeah, of course.
But, so Glee is shown, Glee is free-to-air there too, but it's shown here at, I believe it's 8:30 on a Friday, if I remember correctly.
Wow. Yeah, I think, we have like video on demand or whatever it's called, or just on demand. I have DirecTV is how I get my television. And I also have an off-air antenna that pulls in free over-the-air high definition for the local channels. Which sometimes is better quality than what the satellite provider is beaming to the house. And I believe on the on-demand feature, I can get shows that would normally be on Showtime and HBO that I don't subscribe to.
Okay.
Like Nurse Jackie and what's another one on HBO that was recent, like Rome, those kinds of things. Though it's painfully slow to download some of those episodes over the broadband, and most of them are still in standard definition, so not that great to watch.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other issue as well, because I think that our on-demand is... Well, I don't know that for certain, but I believe it's all standard.
Right. And there's a significant delay in time from, like, it's nowhere near the current season. You know, it's probably like... You know, if like, say, Dexter is on, what, season 4, maybe? They might be just posting season 1 or season 2.
Okay.
So, Gravita said True Blood, which definitely.
What's that on in the U.S.?
I want to say HBO.
Oh, really? See, that's free-to-air here as well.
Wow.
Including all the nudity.
All right, I'm moving over there. I just recently got season 2 copy of that from a torrent site.
I'm laughing because our niece bought True Blood season 1 and 2 on DVD, and because we'd missed several, we borrowed the season 1 set to catch up and then go on to season 2, and she loaned it to a friend and hasn't seen it since.
So. Well, I received season 1 as a Christmas gift last year, and on Blu-ray, I think it was. And this season 2 I actually just downloaded. So.
Okay.
And I think they're on season 3 already.
I think so, too.
Oh. So I'm a little behind.
Yeah. We won't go there because I fall behind in everything.
Yeah. Just not enough time. But I did want to mention, actually some of the folks in the chat room already know this, but I was thinking, I think, didn't Nigel put out a request for somebody to do an alternating Saturday or something? So I'm thinking about it.
Well, that'd be great.
I'll need some more information. And I was actually thinking of doing like a New Age night.
Okay.
Because I really like that genre. And we were chatting about it the other day when I did an impromptu show. I'll need more information, you know, in terms of, you know, what can be played and if there's any server settings and all that other stuff. But
oh, well, there are. But that's through QNation. They have to, you have to fill out their paperwork and stuff. But basically, and Nigel can help you with the settings as well because he also uses Nicecast. The main thing, and one of the reason why we don't play simulcast QNation shows on Pride 48 anymore is because we had to send the logs of what was played to them to manually include in their report to the licensing agencies so they could pay the proper royalties.
Right.
And it was just too complicated. It was too much work for them as well.
Okay.
So that's why we stopped streaming Third Colony and any other music shows. But... yeah, no, it's actually quite easy to do, apparently.
So it's not streaming through Pride 48 or Third Colony. It's coming through QNation.
Yep.
Solely. Okay.
Yeah, we just basically share the chat room because there's nothing on Pride 48 at that time.
Right.
And Gavin does his show before then, you know, in the leading up to that. But his actual show isn't still continuing at that point. And actually, I keep forgetting to promo that because he does his show in the old Gay Trucker time slot, which is, what, 7 p.m. Eastern, I think it is.
I think so.
I always remember it as 4 p.m. Pacific because that's what DJ David J always used to say, 4 p.m. Pacific.
in the afternoon.
Eh?
It's a running joke, 4 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yes.
Or in the evening.
Yes. Or 6 a.m. in the morning or whatever.
That's right.
Your time change, ours as well, has really changed things fairly dramatically for me because the 8 p.m. start for this show is 2 p.m. my time now, whereas just last week it was 7 p.m. and the week before, well, not week before, several weeks before that, it was noon rather. And
really?
Yeah, 2 p.m. is much more manageable than noon.
Yeah.
And, of course, when I was alternating with He Who Can No Longer Be Named, it was 11:30 my time, which was even worse.
So you had a time change and we had a time change.
Yes, we changed ours. I actually couldn't tell you when anymore. It's been a few weeks now. I think it was the first weekend in October.
Okay.
Or maybe it was the middle of October. I can't remember now. Because just like the U.S., we changed when our clocks changed, you know, the time of year or whatever. The idea being to give us longer summer.
Yeah.
Because the weather is starting to get good in October, and it's good all the way through March. And we used to change our clocks at the end of October and the beginning of March, I think it was.
Wow.
So that's all different now.
So Michael Sage is leaving the chat room. He's going to go have dinner, and we'll be listening on mobile. So hope you have an enjoyable dinner, Michael.
Yeah, bon appétit. Have some good curry, eh?
Eat something good and then report about it on Twitter. So we can all enjoy it vicariously.
Yes, exactly. You should tweet about it because people don't tweet their food choices enough. I finally decided to tweet something about food because everybody else does and I never do.
Yeah, I'm always taking pictures of the dishes that I prepare and then sometimes I'm posting them on Twitter, but lately I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm trying to think if I've ever done that.
Mm.
I don't think I have. Well,
it's usually because I'm creating something that is, usually it's diet friendly, when I'm not cheating, of course. Which seems to happen quite frequently lately.
Yeah, I think my diet is the thing is that I'm, it's probably more accurate to call my diet a cheat and actually probably isn't now. Probably my diet is a cheat, and if I'm cheating, I'm actually eating sensibly. It's probably so I live in upside down land anyway, so I suppose that figures.
Right. I'm actually having a very difficult time adhering to any kind of sensible eating this time around for some reason. And I think it's partly the time of the year. It's, it's partly the new job and the stress that I'm kind of under.
Yeah.
Trying to get things settled. But, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, Holly was running the Biggest Loser thing through Wimby's. Must have been in your spring, I think it was. But we were going into winter at that time, and I took part, and it was a big mistake. I never should have, because if autumn is the one time of year, that and winter, I suppose, two times a year, when I cannot lose weight, because I just want to kind of cocoon.
Sure.
But we're coming. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying we're coming into summer now, so maybe things will be better.
Right. Well, for us, of course, well, now we're heading into winter, and this is it's usually that hunker down kind of stuff. It's the holidays coming up with all the rich desserts and the starchy, dishes and the hot chocolate and stuff like that. So it's going to be like a hell ride. But
yeah. And the funny thing is, whenever I think about it, I think, well, I don't eat all that much that I shouldn't. But then, you start breaking it down and you think, oh, yeah, well, there's that. Oh, and then there's that. And, oh, there's this other thing.
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
you know it, you've gained about 50 pounds.
And that's, it's very easy to do.
Yeah.
Teaching Thomas said they have a sick kitty in their household. Poor kitty.
Yeah, ours has been actually quite healthy lately. Nigel is convinced that Bella is a healing cat.
Mm.
And since I haven't recorded, I haven't been able to tell this story. The other night, he woke up in the middle of the night with a leg cramp, or as Kiwis say, woke up with cramp.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds like it's something you're cuddling or something. But anyway, and so he jumped out of bed because, the rule is that you're supposed to extend the muscle quickly and by standing to, extend it again. And so it apparently hurt quite a lot, and he was in a lot of pain. And all of a sudden, Bella, the cat, comes up to him and starts, paying a lot of attention to him. And he's thinking, what do you want? Oh, you probably just want to be fed or something. But then he's sitting on the edge of the bed, and then she walks around his sore leg, rubbing her tail against him and so on. And then the pain was instantly gone, he says.
Hmm.
Now, of course, as a person who doesn't believe in the supernatural, I like, oh, yeah, okay. But my mother was always fond of quoting Shakespeare, that there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in our philosophy. So who knows? You know, maybe it is a magic hat.
And it could be the endorphins that are released from just the pleasure that, you know, the cat brings.
Well, there's any number of possibilities.
Yeah. You know, I know that my cats do, like, they stick around whenever I'm sick, you know, if I have a cold or whatever. It's almost like they automatically know if you spend too much time in bed or whatever. You know, they tend to stay around you, and they sleep next to you, and it's actually kind of comforting.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, well, Bella's like that. I've got to get the phone. Amuse the people.
Okay. I get to amuse the people. What am I supposed to do? let's see. What's going on in the chat room? Okay, we're talking about kitties and sick kitties. Let's see. Homer calling. That's cute, Tara. You guys still interested in me doing some kind of a music show on Saturdays opposite Nigel? Because I am thinking more and more about it. And hopefully Arthur will be back soon. This feels a lot like, if anybody listens to Yeast Radio, this feels a lot like Cheryl Murkowski when Madge goes off to do something and tells Cheryl to keep the audience entertained.
So does that make you Cheryl?
Yes.
Well, it was worth it.
I was running out of things to say.
Well, that phone call was worth it. I ordered the groceries online this morning, and they were just calling because they're out of stock on an item and wanted to know if I was willing to substitute.
Cool.
And I said, yeah, sure. I think it actually is more expensive.
And Icky said, angels. Angels. Wings. So amazing.
Yes, well, in my case, it was tomato sauce, but...
Uh-huh.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Ketchup. Yes, well. Ketchup. We've been down to one car for the past couple of months, and probably will be until sometime next month, and which means I can't get to the store easily to do the grocery shopping. I could do it on the weekend, but I usually spend that time with Nigel. I could do it in the evening, but same thing. Yeah. So what I've started doing is just ordering it online, and they wanted me to, well... Long story short, they gave me a code for free delivery, so I thought, why not?
Oh, good.
And,
we have Peapod service over here. It's part of the Stop and Shop supermarket chain, and I actually think they're owned by a foreign company. Something tells me, like, over in actually, I don't even remember, but it's somewhere overseas. It's a company that owns them. And so they slowly rolled out their home delivery service, and I guess they deliver to businesses too. And I think they sent me a coupon for either free, the first delivery was free, the delivery charge was free, or it was like a percentage off or something. But I haven't used it yet.
Well, I wasn't quite sure what to expect from all of this because... The first time I ever heard of online grocery shopping was when I still lived in Chicago, so this is probably talking about easily 17 years ago. Mm-hmm. The internet was still fairly new in those days, and in order to shop online, I think you had to be a member of Prodigy, which was Sears' old online service, if I remember correctly.
I remember Prodigy.
I was briefly a member.
Like CompuServe, that time period.
Yeah, when you had to have a online... What do they call it? Service? No, it wasn't service provider. What do they call them? Online service or something? I don't even remember.
Yeah, it was a weird thing.
I remember joining America Online when they had fewer than 200,000 members.
Yep.
I think it was 100 and some. I don't even know if it was 100,000 when I first joined.
Yeah, and now they're free, aren't they? I think AOL's free.
Yeah, I don't know any of the details, but yeah.
Yeah. It was funny because I ran across... I think it was a blog somewhere that said it was sort of poking fun at the people who use AOL and and like Netscape and Hotmail for their email addresses.
Yeah.
And they correlated those services with the person's level of computer literacy. And it was kind of funny how like the people with the AOL addresses were way at the bottom of the list. So like barely able to turn the computer on or something like that, you know. And then you go all the way up to the people who have email addresses off of their own personal domains. So it's quite the spread. It was kind of fun.
In the chat room, Gravitas was saying internet service provider. This is actually before that. There was no such thing in those days. You had to dial up through something like America Online or Prodigy or CompuServe, or there was another one that I can't remember.
Yeah, and you had to dial into it, and you had dialed in with a 24K baud modem that was like a turtle's pace or something.
Yeah, although I remember my first modem was a 28.8.
Okay.
It was a speedy thing, that was.
And then it was 56, right, because they typically double.
Yeah, I think that's where it maxed out.
So, Nessa, no insult there, Nessa. I wasn't picking on you. She has an AOL email address.
Well, Tara asked, do you remember those AOL CDs? I do, vaguely, but I actually remember that was Teaching Tom who asked that. I actually remember the floppy disks more. And at one point I had hundreds of them. I kept reformatting them so I could use them.
And Yasmamadou mentioned Earthlink. I actually had Earthlink or Earthstink for a little while. they were good at first, but it was all dial up. I mean, I remember I think it was with them. There were no local numbers. And I used to dial through, like, so where I am, I used to dial, it was like a long distance call, and I think I paid $90 for 1 month of service because of all this, the phone surcharges. It was ridiculous, you know. But yeah, it's funny when you mention the floppy disks, because my very first computer that I ever really played with as a kid was Radio Shack, the TRS-80.
Yeah,
and that even predates Windows. You know, it was the basic programming language, and it had those large 5 1/4 floppy disks that were truly floppy. You know, not like the little diskettes that came out afterwards. So, and they used to call those the Trash 80 computers. TRS-80, Trash 80. Good old Tandy Corporation.
Yes. And that's still around, isn't it? But they changed the name of the Radio Shack stores to something else.
Yeah. Well, it's Radio Shack, and I don't know if like on their print media or anything like that, if it still says, you know, Tandy Corporation, or if it's just been changed all over to Radio Shack or not. ASL, are you talking about sign language, Nessa? Or something else?
Yes, well,
Radio Shack is making a comeback in the stocks.
Well,
very good
word for that. We have a similar chain here to the old Radio Shacks anyway, which is out of Australia. It's called Dick Smith Electronics, and it's named after a prominent Aussie entrepreneur, I guess he is. But he was also famous for racing around in hot air balloons. And I don't think he does that anymore, which is probably a good thing, because that can sometimes lead to disaster.
Yep. Okay, so Iggy was using a Commodore Amiga. I remember those too.
See, I remember all of those, but I never actually used any. I think that the first personal commuter as I say, the first personal commuter I ever touched. personal computer I ever touched, I think, was an Apple, actually.
Yeah. Wow.
An Apple IIe, if I remember correctly, because a friend of mine had one, and I just thought it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah. I think a friend of mine had one. Her mother was an educator, and apples were always very big in the school systems. So I think that's the first time I ever noticed one. If I remember correctly, it was like all separate components. So the hard drive was separate, and then the regular CRT and the floppy drive was separate or whatever. I remember using ClarisWorks. So, yeah, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, well, yeah. I remember using ClarisWorks on a Mac, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the first computer that I actually owned was a K-Pro 4. Hmm. And it was a CPM machine. And it the 4 stood for the fact that it had 4K of RAM. Ooh. It had two floppy drives, and they were they called them mini floppy drives because they were, I think, 5-inch or whatever. And you loaded the program on one, and then you could write files to the floppy in the other one, which was unusual in those days. And, man, we thought that was just the most wonderful thing. And then we figured out how to make the Daisy Wheel printer do cool things like making bold and the underscore.
Yep.
And
I had one of those. Yeah, I had a printer from Radio Shack as well. It was the dot matrix printer. Yeah. You know, it used to make so much noise, and it would, you know, would run off of the, like, that green bar paper or just the regular paper that had the, you know, the peel off sides to it and everything. And it's like, wow, how far we've come.
Yeah.
You know? Well, now I have the iMac, and then I have a Windows computer here. I have a color laser jet. It's like, it's amazing. But when you think about all the money that you spend on all of these things.
Yeah, well, I try to, try to avoid overspending. I have the same iMac that we bought when they were first released 3 years ago.
So it's not a flat screen, or it is?
Yeah, no, it is. It's flat screen. But it was. It's not the most recent release. It was the one before that.
And is it the white one? All white?
Is it all white? No, it's silvery. Whatever they call that color. And
so it's the aluminum. So you might actually have the same one I have. I think I got mine in 2009. It's got a black back to it, black plastic.
What, on the backpack? I never turned it around.
I say on the black of it, but on the back of it.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Because when my mom bought hers, she got the new model, and it's all aluminum all the way around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You see, I pay so little attention to the back, I probably never noticed.
Yeah.
Well, there's a company here in Auckland that handles, it's an online auction service, but it handles it could be closeouts from retail stores, especially if they go under, and also ex-lease equipment. They I think pretty much specialize in that sort of used digital stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nigel got me a quad-core Macintosh Pro that was coming off lease. And it's got, like, I don't know, 5 gigs of RAM and all kinds of other bells and whistles. But I've been so busy, I haven't even had a chance to set it up yet.
Oh, wow.
He did all the formatting and all the other bits and pieces for me.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons I'm excited about it is that right now, whenever I do a podcast and I export it to iTunes, it takes 6 minutes for GarageBand to finish processing a typical episode. Mm-hmm. And video takes even longer. And so I'm looking forward to having this extra processing grunt to get through these things faster.
Yeah, that'll probably buzz right through it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're nice looking machines.
Big though.
Yeah. And expensive too when you buy them brand new.
Oh yeah.
What I'm actually looking to do is at some point I want to get the Mac Mini server with the OS X server already in it. Can't plunk down $1,000 right now for it.
Yeah, we just upgraded to a new Mac server.
Yeah. So I see there's a lot of nice toys in that software that I really want to try to use. So.
Hmm.
And I guess you can run your own mail service too, as well.
Yep, Nigel does.
So meaning you don't have to pay a service provider, correct?
Well, I actually don't know that side of things. That's probably true, so long as you have a domain.
Yeah.
But I don't really know how it works. I think that is true because I think that Nigel bought a domain and that's where it goes to the server for that.
Yeah, because I have several domains that I own, and on my hosting account with Mac Highway, which the way I understand it is I could actually host my domain as well and not have to pay for that.
Yeah.
And then I guess it's all how you set up the various aspects of it, I guess, to get the mail subdomain or whatever it is. So I don't know that much about it. I usually just toy around with things. Yeah. I usually get them wrong.
Yeah, well, it's theoretically possible, obviously, that you could run sites off of your home server as well. But yeah. The reason I won't do that is because, well, there's a lot of reasons, but among them is that it uses a lot of bandwidth. And mm-hmm. It's not that we have limited bandwidth, but once we hit our cap, we have to pay extra. And it gets expensive after a while.
Yeah, I mean, the bandwidth that I pay for, I mean, I pay about $99 a year for my hosting account, which is completely affordable. And I don't think I've ever come close to even like a tenth of the bandwidth that they allow me. So I'm pretty good to go. Now, if I started hosting, you know, websites on my account, I mean, podcasts, if I started storing those on my account, I'm sure the bandwidth would increase a lot more. Because I'm also trying to figure that out as I'm trying to post, you know, any of the episodes that I do to the blog that I have. I was hoping to be able to avoid paying for yet another service to host the audio files, you know. So I'm still trying to find time to figure that out.
Yeah, and all of my stuff is hosted at the moment at GoDaddy. Mm-hmm. And I've been looking at moving it ultimately as they come up for renewal. But I'm leery about doing that because I had such a bad experience when I left Podomatic back in the early days. And I'm just afraid it's going to be the same thing again. Yeah. But, I mean, the difference, of course, is that I control the feed now, and so I can just redirect it anywhere.
Yeah. Like right now I'm looking at, I guess it's called Libsyn.
Yep.
Libsyn. So I was sort of looking at that because everybody that I talk to or chat with say that it's really a simple process. You just sort of, you know, answer a few questions or whatever, configure a few details, and it's done, you know. Mm. Whereas to do it any other way is probably a little bit more technologically or technically involved. So is it worth saving, $15 a month? I'm not quite sure.
Well, yeah, and the thing is that, you know, I'm still responsible for maintaining my site and all of the back end, as it were, and all that sort of stuff. And for somebody like me who really doesn't know what he's doing, it's a bit of a burden.
Yeah, we all tend to just tinker at this stuff, and most of the time we get it right.
Yeah.
You know, so we do, I mean, somewhere along the way we are saving a ton of money because we're not paying people to do the things that we actually do figure out the right way. Like the website that I have, the hosting account I have, allows me, I think, like 5 websites that okay. I can run off of it. Basically, I think there's one like master site, and then the other ones are sort of sub sites off of it. But you can assign domain names to them. And I loaned one of those slots out to a public transportation service that I used to take to get to work. And in fact, just today, I asked them. I said, you know, what's the update in transferring the domain? Because they're moving it off to another hosting company. And they said, "Oh, we're still testing, working out the bugs." And I'm getting ready to say, "Well, my patience has a limit, and if you don't move it off soon, I'm gonna send you a bill for your share of the hosting expense." You know.
Hmm.
But I think they're starting to feel like they're taking advantage of it. You know. So.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of it's not even similar, but it just made me think of it. There is this thing you can do called Slingbox that allows people basically to share a cable connection over the internet. Right. And there have been times that we've considered doing that because then, you know, we could get access to American programming we couldn't watch otherwise. But the problem is the bandwidth issues and the fact that you're basically committed to paying for something. And, you know, if there was an affordable, legitimate... Well, that's legitimate because you're subscribing to a cable service. But an affordable, legitimate service that was more direct, you know, people like us would go for that sort of thing.
Yeah. So you mean like you'd have the Slingbox here in the U.S. Yes. and pay for that service, and then you'd simply get it wirelessly through
Well, it's a device that sends it over the internet, or I should say you access it over the internet. It doesn't send it anywhere until you
isn't that amazing? Because I know they actually have the players even for the smartphones. And you know, I looked at it and I said, I mean, how often am I going to be watching TV on my phone?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I'm at work, I really, you know, I might sneak a YouTube video every now and then, but I'm really not supposed to be using it at work. You know, particularly when I'm trying to tell my employees not to use their phones during work. And then what kind of a hypocrite am I if I sit in my office and watch videos on my phone?
You know. Yeah. I don't think I ever have, but...
Yeah.
But nowadays,
bad enough I use Twitter and I check my email. And the only reason why the only excuse I have is because I also have my work email on there. So I can say, hey, I'm checking work email. You know, don't question me. I'm the boss.
Well, you know? I suppose it's lucky that I work from home because I can do whatever I want whenever I want.
Right. Yeah, I can work from home every now and then. Like I'm going to be writing a grant very soon. To continue our services at the office. So I will be taking some time to work at home, you know, while I'm typing that because I get far too many interruptions. So,
yeah, I like being able to take time out to play with the dog and cat.
Mm-hmm. I think we're more productive when we do that. I mean, when I stay home, you know, I do what I got to do. I play with the cat for a little while. I come back, I do more. Then I go in the kitchen, get something to eat. I come back, and I do more. It's a nice balance. You know, you can run downstairs, throw a load of laundry in, come back and do more work.
Hmm.
So it tends to work out. Maybe corporate America will figure that out at some point.
Well, I don't have any alternative because there is no office to go to. So that makes it convenient. Yeah. Although I did set up my MacBook. Sorry, Icky. I did set up my MacBook to make it so that I can do mobile work if I want to. I just never do.
Yeah. There's a service that I had that I was using for a little while called Tether. When I had my BlackBerry phone, and it let me share the phone's data connection with my MacBook, either by USB or wirelessly through Bluetooth. And it worked fairly well. And they just released it for Android, but they don't have the Macintosh client to go with it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm waiting for that. So, of course, the week that they offer me a discounted upgrade price to convert over to the Android platform, they, you know, I got 1 week to do that. And I'm saying, well, that's completely useless to me until you offer the Mac client that connects with that application. So hopefully they'll offer it again later on, because I'm not going to buy it until I know they have a Mac client to go with it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, because I can do most of the stuff on the phone. It's I have the HTC Evo, so I mean I can do most of it on it's a 4.3 inch screen, but there are times when you still need to look at something on a laptop.
Well, yeah, I never thought that I would use, well, I've just got the iPod Touch, but I never thought that I would use that for trying to do anything serious.
Yeah.
That I would probably still continue to use my laptop whenever I needed to do that sort of thing.
Are you seeing the chat rooms?
Yeah, I know, they're being rude.
Lord Byron says, "He who shall remain nameless would love all this tech stuff. Daniel Brewer, where are you?"
Well, I presume that the remaining nameless wouldn't be Daniel, because Daniel would love all the tech stuff too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
And Daniel has an Evo as well.
Yes, he does. As a matter of fact, I got an email from him from his Evo the other day. I was like, oh, it's Mel Yu. They're actually promoting Androids here in New Zealand now.
Are they?
Hmm.
I like it. I never really developed a fascination with the iPhone. As much as I love all of Apple's products, the iPhone just, I mean, it was nice when you'd go to the stores and you could look at it, and like, it's fun to play with all the toys that are there. But I'm like, I really don't care for AT&T, so that was one of the major reasons why I never really went any further with it. And then when the Android phone came out, I started, you know, playing around with it and really liking it. Though I'd kill to get my hands on one of the Nexus 1s, which are no longer available in the U.S.
Hmm.
They're only available as the developers' phones.
Hmm.
But I just like the way it looks, except for that little that glowing trackball that that it has on it. So. That trackball just seems like very old and outdated compared to the rest of the phone, you know.
Yeah, well, I suppose it is, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still trying to decide what I'm going to do because I just have an ordinary phone that just makes and receives calls. I mean, it has a built-in camera and it is a 3G phone, but it doesn't have any bells and whistles at all. And so I'm just trying to decide what I even need because since I do work from home and very seldom have to go out for any reason, at least not for a business reason, do I really need anything other than just an ordinary phone?
Right.
So, you know, I'm thinking that I maybe don't need to invest in anything and I'll just keep using this one until it finally does fail. Which, yeah. I mean, it's 6 years old and it hasn't yet. So, I don't know.
Yeah, my phone's a little bit of overkill sometimes. I mean, I don't need all the stuff that's on it. I mean, I play with a few things. You know, the music player is important. Email and Twitter and so forth. I'm a big weather geek, so I like to have the weather updating on the screen. But a lot of those other things, it's nice to have them there, and I might interact with them from time to time. But if they weren't there, I wouldn't miss them. And I'm trying to think of something else too. It's okay. I mean, I also have a regular flip phone from work because I only have a wireless phone. I don't have a landline. And I told my manager, and I said, you know, I'm not giving out my basically what's my home phone number. I'm not giving that out to staff. I'm not giving it out to other providers. So if you want me to be available when I'm out, when I'm not in the office, you need to get me a cell phone.
Fair enough.
And they did. They didn't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
And it's just a regular Samsung flip phone.
That's what I've got.
No data plan, nothing. So.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it's on vibrate and it's in my backpack, and I never even. I mean, I don't think it even rings.
Yeah, I just got an email today from the phone and internet company, suggesting that we go to what they call naked DSL, which means no landline, just the DSL, and then you know mobile for the calls. And they keep track of such things, but it turns out that. Last month, I guess it was, we spoke on the phone for 1 hour and 19 minutes over the course of an entire month.
Wow.
And I thought, geez, we hardly ever use a phone anymore.
So that's running your phone service over your internet connection.
Well, it's actually more the other way around. But, because the phone service was not broken up exactly, but it was they forced structural separation between the dominant phone company, which controlled the lines. And also, control the copper network, well, the network and the copper lines and all the other bits and pieces. So you could still have your internet service provider, whoever you wanted, but you had to go over the dominant company's copper network.
Right.
And now that's all changed. And that, of course, also meant number portability and all that other good stuff that goes with
right.
it.
Right. Yeah, we've got that here, too. I had a family member of mine... took their phone service. The major provider, at least in the Northeast, is Verizon. And they moved that over to T-Mobile, was offering a home service. Actually, it's called At Home, T-Mobile At Home. All it does is they give you a Linksys router that's specifically made to handle telephone traffic.
Mm.
And you connect that into your broadband internet connection, and so you basically got voice over IP.
Yeah,
and it works okay. Though I think they're going back to Verizon now because the from what I'm hearing is that the adapter that runs the service just keeps shutting off every now and then. It'll lose connection with the service and. If you're not paying attention to that appliance, you don't know that you no longer have a connection, and then you know people are calling you and leaving voicemail, but you're not seeing anything on the handset because it's not connected anymore.
Yeah.
So you have to reboot it or play around with it and check IP settings. And I've gotten more than enough phone calls to help out with that. You know. So. And I'm like, you know, this for the $10 you pay a month, this isn't worth it because you're providing an awful lot of IT support for something that really should just do what it's designed to do and not give a lot of headaches.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think we may as well wrap it up. It's now been an hour. I did wait a little while before I started. Probably to decide what I was going to do today. But you are here next week in this same time slot, same bat time, same bat channel. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be back in 2 weeks.
Okay. And I'm trying to think of, you know, what my theme will be.
Good luck with that.
If nothing else. It helps me to have some kind of an idea of, you know, what I want to talk about.
And
I heard you say something about, like, you don't script anything.
No.
And I tried doing that one time, and it just feels very robotic when you're trying to stick to a script, and it just doesn't flow. So
If I were an actor and had been trained in how to do that sort of thing, it might be different. But I come across as if I'm reading, which is kind of probably because I am.
Well, and believe me, I have acted on the stage in, you know, community theater level theater, and it still is difficult to. Well, first of all, you know, looking in the chat room and then trying to follow a script, and it's after a while, you know, something has to suffer.
Well, I think scripting would be easier for recorded podcasts than for live.
Yeah. And I mean, because you can even get the teleprompters and all that other stuff. Hmm. I mean, there's the teleprompter software for the Mac. I've used that. And,
I'm actually going to try some of that for some videos.
Yeah. There's, I don't know if you've purchased anything, but there's, I actually got a free one somewhere. I just Googled free teleprompter or something for Mac, and I found something. So it worked.
Well, Nigel found a few that he thought that were pretty good. He was going to pass them on because he's my tech guru.
And then I remember the software that I found, and I set it up, and then I, you know, you press the button to go, and it's, and the words just like flew by at like light speed, and I'm going, okay, I have to go back and check those settings. Right. And then the next time they come by and they're like really slow, and I'm going, okay, now I got pauses where I don't want them. Eventually I got it right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I have scripted a couple, but as I said, it's very rare. And when I first started podcasting, I used to have a list of things, and I would go through them as well, but I very seldom even do that anymore.
Yeah.
But what I try to do, unlike today, is I try to call up articles that I want to talk about ahead of time, but I didn't know I was going to talk about one of them. So,
what I found is that when I did set like little tiny stories to talk about, I did pretty well during the first couple of them, and then I started going off on a tangent and rambling, and then trying to figure out how do I get back to the next topic, you know? So it's better off that just have a rough idea of what you want to talk about, and at least for me, that's what I intend to do. I've already started writing notes down for the New Age Music show whenever that happens.
Good
idea. I have a story that goes with it, you know?
Yeah.
How I, you know, when I first started listening to it, and some of the memories that I have of the show and certain little things that happened along the way. So,
well, that's what Nigel does with all his shows. He tries to theme them around something, and he has something to say about various songs or maybe the artist or what have you.
Yep.
But he also likes to take liberties. like last week's country wasn't literally country. It was, you know, playing around with it a bit, which is always kind of fun. And sometimes he even invites me to join, which is fun for me.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Right. Well, is there anything aside from your show that you want to plug?
Not really. I did post a video on YouTube. Not so much sort of the it gets better, but it's along the theme of LGBT suicide. It was something I did in Apple's keynote. And then I converted it into a QuickTime movie and posted it. So it sort of is a tribute to the individuals, the ones that have been talked about, Billy Lucas and Asher Brown and so forth, and sort of a tribute to all of the other individuals who have passed in silence and without visibility. So I had a vision, I threw it together, and there's been some comments. So
Okay.
It's up there. It's on Veritable Virgo's YouTube channel.
Very good.
And I think you can find that from my webpage. I have buttons that you can click.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Shortcut is just veritablevirgo.net, and there's a should be a YouTube shortcut. If not, I'll be adding one.
This week was Stephen in Wisconsin's birthday. Happy birthday, Stephen. And Sunday is Lurie Dean's birthday. So happy birthday to Lurie Dean. And Ramble Redhead just posted his 400th episode.
I saw that.
Congratulations to Tom the Ramble Redhead for that. Mm-hmm. And but I think that'll do us for today. And tune in to the Third Colony on Sunday. And if it's on the air, then you'll know things are moving ahead. Thanks for listening, everybody, in the chat room. And I will be back with you soon. And Veritable Virgo will be here with you next week. Thanks for listening.
Right. Take care, folks.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com. Or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.